Eight malts, Delver, Depths, Ruby, Elves, Delver, Jeskai Control, Tess, Delver, Bug, Lands, Delver, Ninjas, Acast, Control, Lands, Delver.
It's still game one. Their clock's real low. I have no win con, but surviving. Turns go by, cantrips they sling in, ponder shuffling. I ain't dying. Yeah, clock favors me. No time for game three. Casting my STP, plowing whatever I see. Clock favors me. It's Modo. Trigger's not missable. If you play control, that's my buy. The last three turns, your pain, it was audible. I have no real threats but your time. Yeah, clock favors me. No time for game three. Casting my STP, plowing whatever I see. Clock favors me.
Hello and welcome to the Canyon Threshold, the Legacy podcast. Try not to talk about Delver. So we're going to end this podcast on a high note with a little segment we'd like to call That's Gas. Jeff, you're laughing. I'm going to throw it over to you. Sounds like you have a good one. Jeff, how's it going?
Very good. Very good.
I feel bad because McBain, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. That was hilarious.
You know, you're like, I don't want to talk shit about Delver all the time. I'm just looking at what's going on in Legacy, and we're kind of like, well, I don't know what to tell you, but we're not gonna talk about Delver much after that. We do have housekeeping. People might play Delver, but there's no Delver in the housekeeping. Is that correct?
That's right. There's no Delver. Very quick. Modern, two events. I will mention them in whispers because I don't want to spend time on this. Vancouver Battle Royale, April 23rd, a modern event, and Face to Face is having a modern event, June 18th in Burnaby. Of note on the Face to Face one, I haven't double checked this since they have the Face to Face tour and all the road to the PT stuff. That isn't like preemptively on the events they already have scheduled, right? That's like a new series.
Yeah, because there's one in January or something. I don't think like this will be when the actual like qualifiers start yet.
All right. Okay. And then the important one, the big one, Puget Sound Battleground 4. Fuck, I'm looking at this now. There's a lot of details we wrote down. We did not write down the date in this document. Last weekend of July.
Yeah,
July 30th and 31st. Yeah, Greater Tacoma Convention Center. All kinds of stuff. We talked about it before. Modern, Legacy, Pioneer, Team Trios, Canadian Highlander, Old School, Popper, artists, vendors, everything. This is going to be a good time. I think we are all going. We're bantering around the Airbnbs and talking about days off being booked. So mine are submitted. I have to buy a ticket still.
I have bought my ticket. I already had the following, like the Monday, Tuesdays off, but I need to get that Friday off.
Oh yeah. Very excited.
I don't know. I'm really excited for this Puget Sound Battleground 4. Again, the one that has interested me on Sunday is the Popper event. I don't know if I really want to go down that road, but there's definitely been, ever since the Popper Council, whatever it's called, I don't know, there's been a lot more discussion and dialogue around Popper, and I've been kind of wanting to dip my toe into it on Magic Online, much more than Modern or something like that. Though
it does feel I've gotten in and out of Popper a few times historically. I remember when I started playing Magic Online, that was like the only thing I could afford, And like, you know, you're trying to think about buying pyroblasts for the sideboard and you're like, oh God, these are 12 tickets each. I can't do this. Gorilla Shaman's how much?
I was in exactly that place.
But yeah, it's a fun format. And, you know, you go in and out of different grindy periods. I think what's probably somewhat of a consensus, like the addition of Monarch has like severely fucked up the format. Especially with some of the other like Monarch enablers that keep coming in, but it does seem like it's in a good spot right now.
They,
and a lot of
they banned that like sleep card, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I think I don't know. It sounds to me, Jeff. It sounds like you have like a 2020 take on the format.
I need a Zoom take
based on what I've been hearing. It's I don't know. I haven't heard the word Monarch come up at all. So
that's true.
That's with just me listening to things and not actually playing any games, because that's what 30-year-olds who play Magic do, is they just listen because they don't have time to actually physically go somewhere and play. But yeah, I don't know. I'm my eyebrows are raised up. I'm kind of interested that it feels more like Legacy vibe is definitely a lot more interesting than when someone says Modern feels a lot more like Legacy. And then I see those like money pile, whatever decks that exist in Modern. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, no, what, thank you.
What Pauper deck appeals to you? Because we did our Pauper League years ago at this point. I don't think you were in that one.
I was. I'm not sure what I played, honestly.
If you were to play this event in the summer, what's kind of striking your fancy?
I don't know. I think things have changed so much with the introduction of the recent sets that I really don't know. I really like the fairies style.
Like the which was based Delver?
Or like the blue-red Delver, like of...
Fuck!
We failed! I was playing a mono-blue one of that, and I was having a lot of fun with it. Like, I do enjoy that... Yeah, I do enjoy that kind of really late land count tempo we control strategies, but the one that I have built in paper is black white pestilence.
Oh yeah. Which is I remember this now. Yeah.
Yeah, which is pretty sweet. But even some of those like red white ones that just bounce all the artifacts a million times over to get advantage.
Yeah.
I've never really been big on the Tron decks, but anyway, we don't need to go into it too much. Sounds interesting. Yeah,
it's a little too grindy for me as a format, I think.
It is true. It's like every inch you get is, you know, like just claw mark by claw mark, especially with like Blue Delver, where, you know, you're like bringing back your Spire Golems in Jitsu and getting back your Spellstutter Sprites, you know, getting in there.
Jeff, I want something like in between... I tapped out and then I dazed you and now you're going to die. And so see how the loop works is I ghostly flicker these two creatures and then I get to get the ghostly flicker back because it resolves after the, like before the creature comes into or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like a little too much. Like something in between that. It's like sweet.
Yeah. We definitely like romanticize the legacy of yore where it was like all about like, you know, getting plus one on the card advantage kind of thing. And there's definitely that element, it sounds like in Pauper, but I definitely agree that it is grindier because there's never a combo finish or anything like that. It's just that you slowly bury your opponent to the point where they're like, even if I Vampire Tutored five cards to the top of my deck, I'm still not winning this game.
Some of it feels like the Forgetful Fish, the games. We're like, okay, they have all these cards I know about, and I have all these cards they know about. And if I play a creature, they're going to counter it. But if they play one, I'm going to get it. So whoever does it first comes last.
To me, it kind of feels more like, you know, when you're playing Commander and someone is like, fuck, I'm going to die. So they like overload Cyclonic Rift, and you're like, okay, so you're going to kill us now? And they're like, pass a turn. I'm like, oh, come on. It's like, it kind of feels like that more than like anything to me.
Did I ever tell you guys about one of the Pauper decks I was trying to play to like make money on Magic Online forever ago? It did not make any money. but I didn't want to.
Sounds like an amazing story.
I didn't want to be like a dirty Tron player, you know, and play like Fangren Marauder or whatever it was at the time. The big guy where like when artifacts die, you get life. And I found a list for Rhystic Tron. And this was just, this was incredible. You played Rhystic. Well, I don't know what the hell it's called. It's basically Circle of Protection, but it's like a Rhystic thing. Costs two white. So your white
opponents can just pay for it.
Yes. So you can pay one and prevent damage from any source unless they pay one. So the whole thing is you just leverage your Tron lands to just have more mana than them. And you just keep putting these things on the stack and preventing everything. It's incredible. I think I owe playing that deck to my clock management skills. I don't think it's alive anymore, though.
What was the win con?
I think they right-click concede.
I do respect that, to be honest.
Just in intervening time, I went and looked up some Pauper lists. There's some pretty cool stuff out there. All I'm going to say is Aghs Tron. So, Quinn, were you the, or did both of you get the all-access pass for Legacy on Magic Online?
Jeff, you got it, right? Oh, yeah, you must have, because we streamed. And you don't own the, you don't own those cards.
I did, and I actually accidentally bought it twice. Like, I bought it and then, like, went and did work. And then I came in back in the afternoon. I was like, oh, I got to get the all-access pass. And I bought it again. And then I was looking, and I was like, why do I have two? So,
and then conceivably, you could have entered the tournament with that, which you also didn't do.
I know. So I filed a thing to try to get a refund on it. And they're only so fast, the reimbursements, but I haven't heard anything back yet. So we'll see.
Is it so, Quinn, I didn't play any Magic Online, but like, is it that where you need like two tickets to enter the event?
Yeah, it's two tokens to enter the, well, you can also just pay tickets like if you're on your deck and it's cheaper.
Right.
Or it's two tokens to enter the event and then one token just to like get access.
So conceivably, Jeff could have bought two tickets, missed the event and been like, hey, I'm going to continue playing my all access pass. And I'm going to get refunded on my one extra ticket.
I like your theory where I'm scamming them. And the scam is that I still like didn't get the thing that I was supposed to pay for.
Yeah. It still doesn't get anything extra from that. Cause the tokens go away. If you use them for entry, it's just like the flag just stays in your account. Like you don't need the token like in your account.
Anymore. Right. Oh yeah. No, I knew that. So putting the stream aside for the moment, Quinn, last time when like the actual Eternal Weekends and stuff were going on, you played a bunch, but ultimately you just like put the format down and you like, you know what? I don't want to play. You didn't play any Eternal Weekends. You went to a baby shower, if I recall.
Like, well, I mean, I had to go to the baby shower. Like,
okay, sorry. Like, oh, I'm not trying to discredit you for that, but
I was like, you know what I want to do? I want to do a pool about how long this tiny human's going to be. It's like that, or try and resolve show and tell. I'm like, ooh, one's skill based, and let me tell you, it's trying to estimate the size of an unborn child.
How did you find the Magic Online, both just like format in general, but like how was your experience?
It was like kind of what I expected. Early on, there was less Delver because like people were just like trying stuff out, but there was like lots of, it felt like a cast early on because I think people were like trying out the turtle that they can't afford, which is also fair. I was also doing that. It was fine. I don't know. I think it like really drove home that it's just like the format's become really haymakery, which I think we all know, but it was like, it felt like that. Or you like, I guess a cast is like less haymakery and more like you just like bury people in card advantage. Yeah, it was like fun enough.
How did you enjoy playing the 8-cast deck?
I didn't play the regular 8-cast deck because I played that last time and didn't like it that much. It was before the Kappa Canyon came out. Arkan has that list that he was like doing well with for a while, where he just jammed four painters and three grindstones into the deck. So I was kind of fooling around with that. Which is like sort of nice when you get like, I don't know, you get like Incinerating Bridge or something, and then you just like play Painter and kill them. It was like, I guess, same way, similar to like that, like haymakery thing. It's kind of like it's a painter deck, but it's like, it's like if I don't know, put like Gurmag Angler and Show and Tell and told you it was a Gurmag Angler deck, you know, like it was just like sometimes you just had another button to be like, ah, I win.
I've never been a fan of Painter in mono blue decks, but when I saw that list where it was just like all of the strengths of the Ecast deck with just, you know, a little like, what's that steak guy who does the salt sprinkle of Painter in there?
Yeah, you lose the ability to play Chalice, which I don't think is insignificant, but
right,
like because you're playing Urza Saga anyways, you just are going to get half the combo most of your games if you want it. And then you get to play four blasts in the sideboard. I was actually playing one main deck because I saw enough red cards that it was like, seemed reasonable. It's like the cascading like pyroblast arms race. Like I saw enough mono main deck pyroblast. I was like, this hydroblast is like live enough at the times, even when I don't have Painter. And there was like some game ones where like I'd be like Painter and my opponent was like Tabernacle. And I was just like, I had like a Lotus Petal. I was like, oh, I'll just blow up your Tabernacle, I guess.
I like for years when I was playing Painter, when I finally got off of it and started playing other decks, I just remember always being like amazed at how spoiled you were to just have a one mana counter anything, destroy anything in your deck. And I would play all these other cards where someone would resolve something or they'd cast something. I'm like, what do? I just lose. Like, I can't beat this card.
I don't have a one mana way to get rid of this.
Yeah. Or even just like, I'd like any amount of mana way to get rid of this. It's just, I just can't deal with that. Whereas Painter, you're always like, oh, okay, well, I'll just do this, that, and this because, you know, there's going to be a way I can get rid of it. How was your experience? Or sorry, go ahead, Quinn.
I was just going to say, having the blue blasts is like you bring Force of Negation in post-board if you're playing like the list with Chalice, but being able to go like one for one with Meltdown is pretty sweet.
Meltdown seems so strong.
It's still very good. Like if you're like, I think that's the thing about the turtle is that like, you can't Meltdown a turtle. He costs too much. So I had like opponents basically like wipe my board. Like I had like, you know, like two Seat of the Synods and I was only making mana with like the seats and like a Mox Opal and I just had like an island and then it'd be my opponent would like wipe my whole board and the turtle would just be like sitting there and it'd be like oh, I drew Ponder, like Ponder, oh, Lotus Petal, like hit you, and then you're just kind of like off to the races after that. So yeah, I think the turtle really, like, don't get me wrong, there's still games where you just get blown out by Meltdown. I think it's actually worse for real Painter because their Meltdowns that they just have because they're scared of Acast still wipe your board in real Painter and you do not have a turtle.
Yeah. Like when I played both just the mono red Painter and then I sleeved up the mono white Painter to play, I was kind of like, you know, driving to the store and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get wrecked by Meltdown. Like it's just, there's nothing I can do other than having Painter on the color and countering it. Like there is just nothing you could do. And I even played against one of the twins on blue red and just like crossed my fingers the whole time while they brainstormed and pondered. I was like, please don't have Meltdown. I'm just going to lose.
Yeah. Like mono red Painter, it's like Meltdown and Heated Tsuru consumes all, just like fucking so backbreaking.
Yeah. How about you, Jeff?
I was just looking at my records that I put down, and I did play quite a bit. It kind of went all over the place. You can tell it's like the beginning is like, you know, all access, let's go, I'm gonna just grab whatever the hell deck I found in the dumps that looks great. So I started off playing that Hive Mind list that was in the 5-0s a while ago. I 2-3'd because I fucked up sudden substitution like I think at least twice. Like, if you don't know what this is, it's 2 and 2 blue mana. It has split second, and it's an instant. And, like, you switch control of a spell with a creature that the other player has. So you cast a pact, and then you cast sudden substitution to switch it's so they control the pact and you get like their creature. But I kept getting paired against decks where they could pay for the red pact. Like they just like had the mana. Like it was like mono red Stompy. And I was like, fuck, like I have to get these all out here. And there was also times where I set it up, like I've got the perfect win. They don't even know. Ha ha ha. And I put the pact on the stack. And then I went to cast Sudden Substitution. It was like, oh, I need a creature to target. Fuck. As there's like a pact that's going to kill me on the stack. That was fun, though. And that was like the first week. But I mean, within like the first week of it being all access, there's so much eight cast, dude. Like, I'm so fucking sick of it.
It was like eight everything. Eight cast, eight mulch.
So sick of it.
It was, weird. I was talking about this before, but it's like, if you go and play poker, if you don't play like a lot, you know, and you're like, whoa, some like, I feel like got a little unlucky there, you know, with the draws. And like, good poker players will be like, well, you get him in the long run. But if you like only play poker, like when you go to Vegas, you're like, I play poker for 2 days. Like, I'm not going to get him in the long run. There's no more run. And it was like that. Like, every time I played like a, you know, Delver, I'm like, fuck, I'm on Storm. And then I would like be playing some like super fair deck. And I'm like, no, now they're on Ape Mulch, I would destroy them with Storm.
Yeah, there was quite a few times within this where I was like, I'm just not having a good time playing online right now. It's kind of ironic that adding a turtle to a deck made it faster, but but like even forgetting about the turtles, like playing as the like playing as Acast, playing as, you know, the asterisk LVER. Playing against like the Days Undoing decks, it's just like, I just don't want to do this. Like sometimes I feel like I've trapped myself in a corner. Like I queue up for a match and I, you know, 3 minutes into game one, I'm just like, I'm just not having a good time. Like I just want to leave.
One thing I will say, I'm gonna break the Delver Spurge Jar rule because I'm gonna be like positive about Delver. Is that like, you know, I mean, some decks are just like, oh, like my matchup with Delver is brutal, you know, like Grixis Delver versus Infect was like just like horrendous. But like Storm versus Delver, I think it's slightly unfavored. I think if you're like Cyrus, you're favored, and then there's like a spectrum, and I'm on the end of the spectrum where I'm unfavored, but skill because of skill. But those games are kind of fun. Like stuff happens. There's a lot of decks now that you like run into, and either like you're just like, oh, I fucking beat them. Like I played that Acast deck a bunch of times. I was like, oh, I just like I won, but like I don't think my opponent played wrong, or I outsmarted them. I just happened to have a hand of cards that like they couldn't do anything about. And it's the same thing. You'd play against those decks sometimes and be like, well, I guess you just made 10 zombies, like and I don't have a combo finish, so I'm dead. Like that was dumb. Versus at least when you play against Delver, you know, sometimes you're like, oh wow, they had it all. But like they did shit, you know, like you're like, well, they forced me to play the Days. You know, like, oh, they did have the bolts, you know, and you can like think about like plays you could have made.
Yeah.
Whereas like a lot of decks were just like, you know, like sometimes you play against Reanimate and they keep 7 cards. And you're like, well, it's fucking dead. And that is what it is. And it was what it was when it was like Reanimate was the only deck that was like really, really like consistent that way. But there's so many decks now where you're just like, oh, it's like a bad matchup.
Yeah.
And so that I lose like Delver, at least like every time you're like, I'm playing a game of Magic, which is like what I like to do for fun.
I just did some math on my sheet here. So I played 34 matches in the last, like during the all access.
Yeah.
20% of those were against 8 cast.
Wow. That's gotta be bad luck.
It's just like, it's one of those things where even if it's not like a bad match or whatever, she's like, I'm just not having a good time, man. Anyways, moving on from the minor salt, I played Ruby Storm, which was a good time. Technically, what's this called? It's not Ruby Storm. It's the Epic Gamble.
I was going to say, is it the draw 7-1 or is it the bonus round one?
It's no bonus round. Yeah, it's the draw 7. And, you know, that was fun. We played Curses with Reaple Cheat. That was a really good time. I noticed on my sheet, I didn't track the last game, but I think we lost. I think we ended up 2-3, right? Or did we squeeze out a 3-2?
No, we 3-2 because I was like open the chest.
Oh yeah, that's right. Like... that was a great time with Reaple Cheat. McBain avoiding the conflict by not being there after shitting on the deck.
Not seeing
shitting on the mirror match. I gotta go back and watch.
There was some sick plays. Reaper Chief left for a bit, and we were like, can we keep this? The hand's like, you know, three lands, three spells. I don't know.
Really intense discussions.
Yeah. And then after the weekly last week, Quinn played with the Bloom Apprentice, like combo, like Bug Witherbloom. And he was like, this deck's so sick. I think you'd like this. And I was like, okay, hell yeah. So like Friday, I fire up a league. I went 0-3 without winning a game.
Jesus.
I played online. I went 2-3, but all my matches were close, except for Reanimator.
The thing with the Witherbloom deck that feels like so bad, like it is a combo deck and like all the stuff, the way it works, right, is like if you're playing Storm and you go off and they have a counter spell, like, you know, you're dead. You got fucked, right? You thought seize them a turn earlier. They drew the thing they needed and you lost. That's what happens. But like somehow the fact that with Witherbloom, like you have to go like absolute shields down by like, okay, I'm going to mind drop myself. And like then when it doesn't work, you're just like,
you have like four Cabal Therapies though, and so many creatures you can throw away. I don't know. I love casting Cabal Therapy. You know, like it's less fun online. That was one thing.
It's more fun online. See, now you can just go +2 mace. The real ones know Sarpedian Empires, because that was the italics made at the top card in the list of cards.
Oh, but you know when you play Cabal Therapy online and your opponent has just played like Island and like Pondered, and you just like look at them and you're like, you're a fucking sneak and show player. Like,
yeah,
Cabal show Therapy, and tell. Name show and tell. They're like, what the fuck? So much better. Gotta be able to see people, you know?
That's true.
Yeah. I mean stereotype them, but yes.
I'll say too.
I won't judge a book by its cover except GM Daytona. That's all I'm saying. it doesn't go beyond Magic.
I played another league after and I ended up 3-2, but a couple of those games were like, I literally had like 2 to 3 Witherbloom Apprentices out. And then like, I would either find or Green Sun for Sylvan Safekeeper and just like, I'm not going to combo. I'm just going to cast Ponders. Oh, these are Lightning Helixes. Oops. Like,
oh yeah.
Especially like on a Thursday with Cabal Therapy, right?
Just yeah, like, I went like Cabal Therapy, fetched, got Dryad Arbor, sacked Dryad Arbor to Cabal Therapy, and it was like, oh, that's like 6 damage right there. We're in business.
It's so good. Because like you end up with these spots too, where like, you know, you're attacking because not much is going on, and you're like mentally trying to, okay, I got to find the combos. I got to do this. And you're like, oh, they're at 10. You're like, that's actually just so close to killing them with like a second Witherbloom Apprentice.
Just turn the Witherbloom aside over to that point, you're good.
Oh, yeah. So that was
plays Leovold too, our old friend, the Emissary of Trest, just putting his hand out to give you cards.
I feel so bad being kind of nostalgic for Leovold.
It is like really, just really shows you how like far Magic has come. Because yeah, the first time I like Green Sun for Leovold, I think I was playing Scott. He's like, wow, Leovold. I'm like, right? Remember this old friend? And he was like, oh yeah. He's like, because I can't ponder now. I'm like, yeah, that sucks. And we're like laughing, and I'm like, remember when you before you play, like, this card sucks.
I remember quaint. Just turns like Caracasing Leovold, like they don't draw a card, 3 mana, like delayed draw. Like, fuck off. I went from playing your Thursday Magic to playing Elliot's, and I played Yorion Reclaimer for a couple leagues, which was fun. Elvish Reclaimer is fucked up, man. That card is fucked up.
Elvish Reclaimer is so strong.
And like,
I think it's probably like
the green white depths thing of just like finding flagstones. You just go and find a flagstones. Oh, I found a plains. Okay, find another flagstones. Oh, they found a plains. It's ramping up. What were you gonna say?
I also played Minotaurs.
Oh yeah.
It's Didgeridoo. And now that it has Didgeridoo can be just got for free off of Urza Saga, it plays 3 standstills. So Brian Colville 5-0-10-0'd. Spoiler, I did not.
I wonder what the difference is between the two of you.
Yeah, a couple. I think he has facial hair. I can't really grow much. That's probably it. We both have glasses. I'd like to say we're both pretty well spoken too.
Yeah, you can both.
Does he have glasses?
Blurry Beebles.
I don't know.
Do you have all the cards for it?
Spoiler, because it's going to come out after tomorrow. I do now. They're waiting in a package at Magic Stronghold. It's like you get Brainstorm, Ponder, Force of Will. Because you have Urza Saga, like especially if you're like Urza Saga and you're like, okay, my opponent's like doesn't have Wasteland. Then you can just like be like I did a lot of like Ponder. And it was like game two, and I knew my opponent had Wasteland. And then they would, you know, do whatever, Ponder or whatever on their turn one or do nothing. And then I would like play Urza Saga and just like slam Standstill. And it's like, well, your choices are you Force of Will it or you wait long enough and I'm going to get a didgeridoo. And then giant minotaurs are going to come falling from the sky while you try and not break Standstill. And so your opponent would either have to like Force of Will or like immediately break the Standstill. It was so good.
You got to love the fact too that your opponent goes like, you know, you're playing a game, your opponent goes like Island, Ponder, like sure. They're like, Saga, you're like, okay, Standstill. You're like, oh, Standstill, that's a little spicy. That's interesting. You know, okay, oh, make a construct. Oh, trigger, make a construct. I'm going to search through my deck. And you're like, oh, okay, probably a retrofit or founder. That seems good with Standstill. It's like fucking...
I was also waiting to do the noise.
The thing I can't wait for in paper is like, you know, you have like your... Chapter 2 Saga, end of turn, you like make a construct and you untap, draw your card, and you're like chapter 3 on the stack. And they're like, well, like you're probably gonna make a construct. Like, what could they be doing? You know, like it says like a, especially when you just have like Saga and Ancient Tomb and you just float a mana and let it go. And then Didgeridoo comes into play. It's like, here we go. Boros Battle Shaper. Boros Battle Shaper, by the way, beats a Merit Lage.
Dude, that when we streamed.
Would be Emmy, right?
Yeah, and there's the Emrakul, and we're just like every turn, just like, oh, sorry, you can't attack. It's a shame, man.
I remember that thing won you so many games. The Battle Shaper. It was like Battle Shaper or bust.
Battle Shaper is crazy. I also played against a Doomsday opponent who did the math like perfect, and were like, they were like, I'm gonna like lose half my life. For some reason, I had tapped out for something. I was digging for counter magic, but I like wasn't representing like another activation of that's what I did. I was trying to dig for counter magic, and I couldn't find any. Then I only had two mana, so I couldn't like end of turn didgeridoo. But I had after they doomsdayed, I had enough damage to put them to one. But I pondered, and while I couldn't ponder into like Force of Will, there was like a Morog on top. And so my opponent goes down to one. They can't kill me that turn. They're tapped dead. They pass the turn. I untap, attack them. They go to one. Morog comes into play off of Didgeridoo. And then I just play a land and trigger an extra combat step. And like everything untaps. And there was just this long pause. Like they were being like, what just happened? And then like, I'm sure reading Morog. Yeah. But it was wild. It's like this thing where you're like, oh yeah, you like played this perfectly on the Doomsday side, except... He didn't expect some commander card to come out of nowhere.
So I think the real secret, probably the 5-0, 10-0, the real secret is like the circular breathing that you have to be able to do when you play a didgeridoo. So like work on that before Thursday and you'll probably do a lot better.
Is circular breathing a metaphor for being good at magic?
No, that's how you play a didgeridoo.
I think that's my problem.
You don't know how to play a didgeridoo. That's the thing.
I don't play magic either. This is what I'm saying.
Well, start on the basics of circular breathing, and then you can move to casting Standstill and try to win. But that's how you maintain the like continual didgeridoo noise.
It's like circular breathing and the art of tapping Urza Saga.
Yeah, four mana rather than constructs. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I think I'm just gonna buy a new computer. I didn't have any inspiration to like play with my old piece of shit. So buy a new computer, play some Popper.
The funniest fucking thing is like you're not wrong. That's absolutely probably what you have to do. But like, oh, you're getting a new computer, eh? What do you plan on playing? It's like, well, there's a collectible card game and their program came out in 2004 and my machine right now is having a hard time running it.
I'm trying to think about that because like the only thing I could play on my old computer was Magic Online. Like Arena would like be like sketchy, but like Magic Online would just run.
So I can play Arena and I can play Magic Online on it, but like it's slow. It's like you're playing on dial-up or something.
I remember when we did, I think you were watching me, maybe it was the limited thing or something else. And you were just like, I've never noticed a difference in like what a computer does. Like, you know, I'm clicking and like things are happening. And I think it was maybe a super qualifier, an event we were playing for Eternal Weekend. And yeah, you were like half the time of my match is like, you know, next phase. And it's like,
yeah, it was like when you were playing off of like your server and then your other computer.
When I was in Victoria,
like, basically that's how it's all the time when I'm playing. And then I'm playing LANs on top of it and trying to port people and also like manage my clock. It's just painful as all hell.
I like the idea of McBain playing Magic in like third person mode. He's like zoomed out.
Oh man, speaking of LANs, so my like non I'm bad at Magic punt, just like I bad at playing Magic Online punt of this series was thankfully, I think, better than when I invigorated my opponent's creature by accident. but I tried to surgical extraction of flame jab and then just like hit okay instead of like clicking on the flame jab. And I was like, oh, I'm dead. Just dead. I'm playing infect. Flame jab's going to kill me.
Dude, those surgical things feel so bad. I've done that multiple times because you surgical and you're like, all right, I'm in their deck. Cool. Oh, I got one of their hand. Hell yeah. And then it's like, oh, I left the Hogak in the graveyard. Like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I took the flame jab out of the deck and I looked in the graveyard. I'm like, oh, that's the important one. They might have drawn the second one, maybe, but they definitely are going to play that one right there.
Who's playing flame jab?
It's like in the land side, bro. And then I looked it up and I saw it in a 5-0 list.
Flame jab? Like, I guess it's like the red dark blast, right?
yeah, slightly worse, I would say.
Dude, if you got loam, this is just better.
Yeah, you got a lot of lands to get back. But yeah, when you have a deck full of 1/1s, don't want to see flame jab.
It feels like you're teching against Death and Taxes from 5 years ago.
So, speaking of Death and Taxes,
that's a transition.
And shitty decks. One of the things that's kind of been on my mind lately, one, because I don't know, I think of like, I'm trying to think of like how new entrants get into Legacy, but I'm also kind of just, for some reason, the idea of playing like viable Legacy decks that don't contain reserve list cards or shorthand for really fucking expensive cards is just interesting to me right now. So one of the decks that I have and I have lent out before for players who show up to Paper Legacy has been Death and Taxes. And I still have that. I traded it out at one point, but I've got it all back now. And I'd like to play and also lend that deck out. I think it's really cool that you can have viable Legacy decks that don't cost a car to play and that you could theoretically, if you played some EDH or if you played some Modern or something, you could trade some cards and get into a Legacy deck. I think that's really cool. So I've kind of been exploring other decks that you can play without reserve list cards. And I wanted to kind of just like talk about a few of them. And two of them are kind of like, well, one of them is definitely close to my heart, and that's Painter. There was actually a list that Callum Smith was running recently where he just had one City of Traders in the deck. And he's like, yeah, you could, you know, cut that if you really needed to. And for someone like new, coming into Legacy new, getting to play Painter, like I've gone through that experience. It's a great experience. I would definitely recommend it. And I think Painter's in a pretty good place right now. So like, that would be a cool one to kind of like lend out to someone or just to play at an event, slightly on hard mode. But again, you know, you're playing no reserve list against people with $10,000 decks, which I think is kind of cool.
That'd be sweet to see. I know Eternal Weekend in paper, in the vintage thing, they have the unpowered challenge where there's like an extra prize given to like, you know, who gets the highest ranking with an unpowered deck. That'd be kind of neat to see with like a non-reserve list deck.
And I have a spoiler for the winner of that, because I just took a look and 8 cast has 0 reserve list cards.
Oh.
It still costs like over $2,000 because it has 4 forces and 4 force of negation usually in the 75. And chalices aren't cheap right now.
Well, but, you know what? Yeah. Then they need that prize money. Those kappas aren't going to buy themselves.
And paper, they're a lot cheaper than online, though.
Yeah. So the main piece with the reserve list stuff was that idea of like really fucking expensive decks. So maybe we put 8 cast in the like maybe bin, but also that's pretty cool that like D&T and 8 cast are very strong, viable decks in Legacy and don't contain reserve list cards.
Awesome. I think the thing about 8 cast is the expensive cards are all reprintable. So it's like Force of Will, Force of Negation, Chalice of the Void are the ones that are like, you know, getting into the hundreds when you have to buy play sets. And, you know, when Chalice gets reprinted, it goes down to like $25.
Yeah. And the other piece is like modern players could easily have Force Negations and Chalices. And they're like, you mean I just have to pick up Force of Wills and I can play Legacy, a top deck? Great. In you go.
And Ancient Tomb. But same thing. Ancient Tomb gets reprinted, goes down to $20.
Yeah. Yeah. So the one that's really caught my eye, though, Painter, I'm going to put together. D&T already have together. There's 2 others that I had thought of. So I've already made Rainbow Depths, which is like the Tom Hepp Negator 77 version of the deck that plays Stifles in the deck, which I think is just so sweet. The fact that you get to play Stifles. I definitely got to Stifle like an Otowaro and a bunch of other stuff. What did I also get to Stifle? The gem palm-y thing, the goblin. What is that?
Oh,
munitions expert.
Yeah, munitions expert.
Yeah. No, it was the psycho one.
Yeah, gem palm.
So gem palm.
Yeah.
Not the gem palm-y thing, gem palm.
Yes. But like, there's just like so many cool things to Stifle. But in addition to just getting to make 2020s and stuff.
It's so funny because like you think mentally, like my brain shortcuts when you say like, you know, non-reserve list Legacy, I think like, okay, you're probably playing monocolor, right? Or you're playing some kind of like Stompy without cities. But other than that, you're basically stuck to one color. But then it's like, what if we played every color? We just did it off of City of Brass and Mana Confluence. Sorry, and Gemstone Mine. I can't forget.
I have a rules question about Gem Palm Incinerator and Stifle. Sure. So it's when you cycle Gem Palm Incinerator, you may have deal X damage. As soon as you start cycling, that triggers on the stack, right? So they still get to draw. You can't like
it's Stifle. 2 separate triggers.
Okay, yeah. Triggers. You can't Stifle one and get both somehow. You just get those. You save your, okay.
Yeah. So the list that I was just following like Tom Hepp's list. When I play it next, I'm probably going to increase the amount of Stifles in the deck just because I want to Stifle people. So that's definitely a thing. But I've just been on this like under $1,000 a deck kind of idea, mm-hmm. or like maybe $1,500, like something that you could reasonably trade a bunch of your Magic cards into to play some Legacy, or you could lend to someone without like needing their kidney as a down payment. Those are the ones to me. Like they're another one is Oops All Spells. I know that's a
don't
one.
Bring that to lend out.
I know. Well, yeah. So I'm not.
Everyone's waiting till Thursday. They're like, show up. They're like, what happened? I just died.
I have the utmost respect for Nathan, who plays that deck a lot and is very skilled with the deck. And he like the couple times that he showed up to play on Thursdays with it, he's just borrowed every single time. So great for him. It's not something that really draws me to the deck, and I don't think would be super rewarding to lend out. Like it's just like I did the thing or I didn't do the thing, and you don't really know the nuances of like what you're trying to play around. So I don't think I'll be doing that anytime soon. But Quinn, you had added some other kind of like non-crazy expensive reserve list decks in here as well.
Yeah, I mean, definitely like non-reserve list. Like we were talking, 8-cast is actually kind of expensive. You could play ninjas without an underground sea. Most decks play like one. Some people play two. I play two because I'm an idiot, and sometimes I'm like, oh, fuck, I screw that up and get an underground sea. And then I get wastelanded a lot, so I need the second one. But you, I think you could pretty easily play it with zero. Omni as well. There's like mono blue. I think that actually one top 32, the challenge for sure. There's been a mono blue list in 5-0s. And I think you can even put like do the green splash. A lot of times, like you play one trop, and there are certainly like you'll lose some percentage points when you're like, I need to crack my flooded strand and I need to play Veil of Summer, and so I need to get my trop right now. But generally speaking, like you're trying to fetch basics with that, like turn on your Icefang Quaddles. And so I, you know, again, you lose a few points here or there, but you don't need to have a tropical island.
Yeah. I think like from maybe like leaving the reserve list part out of it for the moment and just saying like, I just want to make a budget deck that's like functions and I'm losing very minimal percentage points. Like the idea of like, oh, I have one dual land in the deck and just make me in a shock land, I think it's just totally fine. So, or just having like let's say you have, I don't know, reanimate, red, black reanimate, and you've got two bad lands in the deck and you're like, well, I'm just going to only play one bad lands. I have like my highly played beat up Badlands and I've got a Blood Crypt. And I always go and get the Badlands because it's the Badlands. And then if I really need to, I get the Blood Crypt and like, you know, I might lose a couple percentage points or Miracles or like Blue White Control. And you've got, you know, some shock lands. Like I think it's like
a Triome in there.
Yeah, there you go. So like you could easily work it without like, as long as you're not playing Days, I think it's not egregious in terms of playing a shock land or like playing a Temple Garden in like the green white depths list rather than the Savannah. Mm-hmm. And just like, you know, trying to play on a bit of a budget just for like the bit of a hard mode kind of thing, but also just trying to put yourself in that position of new players kind of coming back to the format. So I don't know, it's just a mindset I've been trying to get into and enjoy lately. So I just wanted to share that. And making Dark Depths, like with a bunch of spirit guides and lotus petals and shit, and then not of this worlding people is pretty freaking awesome.
The Rainbow Depths is so good.
I did have, instead of three Flusterstorm in the sideboard, I put one Tower of the Magistrate in the sideboard for like flying artifact shitters or like Baleful Strixes where they think they're just totally safe. And you're like, okay, pro artifacts, we're coming in. Or even just killing Kaldra Completes. But
that was always the tech with Tower, was like anti-Batterskull technology.
But you just stifle, like it's been so long since I stifled the Living Weapon trigger, but you stifle the, if you make Kaldra, you just, isn't that right?
Yeah, Slave of Living
Weapon Trigger. Yeah, Living Weapon Trigger.
Yeah.
You just put like a 7/7, like a brick into play.
Exactly. That's not going anywhere. Like you have to flick Wisp it at that point.
Yeah. I love Stifle in this deck because like it's like Stifle in like something like Rug Delver, like Canadian Threshold, is like it's very much, you know, like you fire it off, right? You got the land perfect, or like, you know, oh, you're playing in Storm, you get the key thing or whatever. But for the most part, you have it and you're just looking for your chance to, you know, snipe something. But with this, it feels so much more like aggressively slanted because it's like, look, you can fetch. Sure, you can have your mana, of course. Oh, oops, you're trying to do something now.
Maybe you, it's a bit of a stretch metaphor, but like I'm just thinking of chess because I know Tom Hepp, who kind of is really responsible for this list, is playing a lot of chess right now, but Stifle's like the knight that can move different than every other piece on the board. Everyone's moving like diagonal or back and forth kind of thing. And the knight's like, I do this. Like I can jump over shit. I can zigzag. And that's kind of what the Stifle's doing for you. So I'm definitely going to be upping the numbers literally just for the fun of it. and I'm excited to do that. So, and one other thing with it is I'm playing the deck in just like no, just like single sleeves. So like the deck itself is like, it's a, when you play like Yorion Taxes, like double sleeved, which is like the worst nightmare. And then you go back to like playing something like this, that's just single sleeved. You're like, oh, this is just, you know, the magic, the way I remember it, like tiny little baby decks.
I played goblins last week, 60 card goblins, because I'm a coward. And it felt so weird shuffling 60 cards for the first time in paper in probably like a year.
Wait, is there a Yorion goblins?
Eli's fucked around with it, but that was like supposed to be
three plateaus, you know, or something.
Both levels, because Eli only ever plays 61 cards. And also, I mean, Yorion goblins, think about it. Yorion Muxus, Yorion Recruiter, Yorion Munitions Expert is busted.
Yeah, Yorion is generally busted. Way to go. You figured it out.
You don't have anything to pitch it to.
You don't need anything to pitch it to.
If I was to play goblins, I would play that, whatever the food chain deck with the Furies in it.
Yeah.
That's what I would be doing.
Food chain goblins. I did show up on Thursday, and I think Tristan was like, you could have borrowed my food chains. Like, what the hell?
I mean, he lent me like seven cards because I was like, oh, I have this whole list. I'm like, oh, wait, no, I don't. Oh, wait, hey, do you have this? I think I messaged him about five times throughout the course of the day.
He also saved my ass. And now thinking about it, that was probably Elliot, I think, that had made that remark. But shout out Tristan for supporting both Quinn and I in playing the decks we were going to play. I borrowed some stupid, was it Twin Shot Goblin from him? Because like we've done so many Kamigawa Pack Wars, and everybody always takes other Twin Shot Goblins and gives them to me. And I go, oh no, I have enough now. I have a playset. And then I went to use them and I was like, where the fuck are they? Do I have any of them? I have one. I got one copy and I was just like, no more.
That's when I was like trying to find that Modern Horizons 2 artifact land, the blue red one. And I'm like, I have a stack of Modern Horizons bulk. And I'm like looking through it. I'm like, I have like five copies of every single land except for that one. Shout out to Kevin for hooking me up.
Speaking of shout outs,
McBain with the killer transitions.
That was a good one. The rest of them today, medium.
Nothing's going to beat that Esper Vile comment I made earlier. That was too good, but alas, it was not recorded. Quinn, why don't you start us off in our section called That's Gassed, and on a positive note?
I want to shout out Face-to-Face Games, Diane in customer service from Face-to-Face Games in particular. I wrote a bunch of cards after we had Max on. While he was talking, I was filling my card up with Temporal Masteries and Malevolent Hermits to play Tempo Doomsday. And so you can think, if you're a follow along with the show, you can think about how long ago that was, and they haven't come. And on Monday, I was like, I should probably email them. I was kind of like, hey, like, I know the mail has been kind of fucked. Well, I mean, I didn't use the word fucked, but, you know, mail hasn't been great. Have you, I'm in Vancouver, you know, is there any chance that like you've seen packages take this long? And they're like, you know, we've never seen it. You know, if you want to wait, you can wait. But she was like, you know what, if you don't want to bother, I'll just like refund it. I'm going to assume that it's lost. And, you know, like rightfully, they were like, if you don't get track shipping, we can't do this again. But she was like, you know, shit happens, and not those exactly those words, but basically like, shit happens and hey, we can refund it for you. It's great. So I said, thanks, if you could please do that. And then I jumped straight online, ordered the exact same cards again, plus more cards. So as a well, because I want them, and also as a bit of a thank you. So yeah, just wanted to say thanks to Face to Face. It's one of those things where it's like, it's one of those things where like, it's not on them either. It's not their fault that Canada Post lost the package. You know, they kind of feel like bad about it, but it's nice that they're just kind of like, they're like, hey, yeah, no worries.
They know you're a DJ and you'll come back.
They've seen the fact that I bought like dual lands off them, I think, and maybe, but you know.
Yeah, good customer service goes a long way. Yeah. Manager Jeff.
Manager, okay. I wanted to shout out a person in the Pacific Northwest Magic community, also greater online Twitter Magic presence and Twitch, Testacular. This is kind of it feels like a weird context for shout out in that it isn't so much that he did anything great. It's that something bad has happened to him. He had his Elves deck stolen. There's a bunch of posts going around, you know, noticing or notifying shops, reaching out, security camera footage, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, like all that stuff goes, nothing came of it. So Elves deck, thankfully, minus Cradles. Those are proxies gone. So my man's got a GoFundMe up to try to get some money back to replace his Elves deck. And I mean, if you're plugged into the Elves scene at all, as D&T players tend to be, to figure out what we're going to get mad at, you know who this guy is. You've seen his content. So we'll link the GoFundMe here. I chucked some money in from the podcast to try to help this along. So McBain's pog face. But Testacular is absolutely gas. If you got any change to throw at him, it's appreciated. It'd be nice to get another Pacific Northwest guy back on his feet after having cards stolen.
Maybe he can throw together Rainbow Depths or some other budgetless that we've been talking about.
That's true. We should redirect this. We should pitch him on a non-reserve list deck.
Hi, you play the most intricate and complex deck in all of Magic. Can I maybe suggest Upsol spells for you? It's a lot cheaper.
Hey, Rainbow Depths is pretty intricate.
Hey, if you boil it down to its core, it's the same thing. You make some mana, you put a creature into play, you put some creatures into play, you put one creature into play, you win the game. Elves, oops, same thing.
There's gotta like diagram. We'll diagram this out and link to it. Jeff will like give you like a here's why they're the same.
On the whole theft thing, that's awful. I was listening to the All Things Considered podcast with Brian Menelakis, and he had Ely Cassis on. They apparently go like way back, and you know, they played in their local store when they were kids together. And this is after he had won the PT recently, and they were just kind of talking about it, but there was a lot of like back in the day stories going on. And Ely told a story where he had his car broken into and over $100,000 of cards stolen out of it. But the guy like smashed the window and like climbed through the back, or climbed like under the back seat or whatever to get to the trunk to get his stuff out. And like cut himself and left blood on the car and everything. And it turned to this whole like investigation, and he actually ended up like prosecuting him and getting a whole bunch of money back and stuff. Like, it was quite the story. So when you, one, I would go listen to that episode, because the most recent 194 episode, because it was just really neat to listen to Ely Cassis talk about legacy. And then also just his interpretation of professional Magic as it is right now, from like a very kind of like Magic boomer perspective, but also someone who's still very much in it. So that was really interesting. But to hear some of those stories where, oh yeah. And he just kind of casually is like, yeah, you know, $100,000 at the time, which is probably like $2 million now, was stolen out of the back of my car.
Also, it feels like one of those stories where you're like, wow, that's crazy. I'm glad you caught the guy. But like $100,000 in your car? What are you doing?
Well, he apparently was like a big wheeler and dealer in terms of like buying and selling cards. Apparently there's a photo where he's fanning himself with like 14 Beta and Alpha Lotuses or something like that way back in the day, because he would just buy and sell and flip cards all the time. Anyway, it was a really interesting
like,
episode.
Is his car like a fucking bank like bus? Like what is this?
I don't know. He did say it was a nice car, but yeah, I think it's one of those things where you just like hope that no one really notices the fact that they don't put like two and two together. Like, oh, that's this person's car. Well,
surely nobody will find my down payment for a house in my car.
It's probably good if you have a worse, like a bad car, you know?
Yeah.
Like if you break into like a Rolls, you know, you're like, there's some good shit in here. Even if they took most of the stuff out.
Right, this guy has the fucking physical copies of his like Amazon stock from 1990 in here.
Versus if you, speaking of 1990, if you break into like a 1990 Toyota Corolla and then you happen to find like $100,000 worth of Magic cards, like that's just pure dumb luck.
I think archetypal though, the person who owns a 92 Corolla is more likely to have $100,000 of Magic cards.
You're not wrong.
So yeah, I just wanted to share that, but like, it, again, it was a really interesting like episode of all of Magic history at once. I want to just shout out an old podcast guest of the show, Nam, who I want to say went to the finals of the Super Legacy qualifier on the Thursday, but some of the things that I saw is only top four or something, but I know he tweeted out went in the finals or lost in the finals. So regardless, he did very well. He's a very skilled player, smart young lad, and way to go. He couldn't have done it without our tutelage when he came on. I know that's like a big reason for success. Or the last time I played him in person a few months ago, I kicked his ass. So like, I'm sure that like lit a fire under him so that he practiced really hard to get through this event. But yeah, shout outs to him. Way to go.
He did, in fact, lose in the finals, playing just a single main deck Pyroblast.
That's a mistake.
He respects society. You know, we live in a society. If you want to play one, okay. If everyone starts packing three Pyroblasts around, saying it's their Second Amendment right.
Maybe that's the secret, is just like these blue Delver decks just start going nuclear on each other and playing more and more Pyroblasts. And then all the other like tier 1.5 decks get to shine because Delver's just that much worse against them.
I lose you just a bit play of my soul.
Blue blasts instead. You just play bigger blasts with bigger nails.
I lose a bit of my soul every time a Yorion gets pyroblasted when I'm playing D&T. It feels so bad.
Yeah, I'm going to respond. Use my Caracas to target my Yorion with my Vial currently on 5. They're like pyroblast that. You're like, oh my god, no.
That's the beauty of this Minotaur's deck. Like, sure, you can pyroblast my like standstill on the stack, like you probably should. You can't pyroblast a battle shaper. Can't pyroblast Neheb.
Can't pyroblast Didgeridoo. Well, you can't.
Deck build is insane.
You're playing this tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Hell
yeah. I was telling Tristan O'Loughlin about it, and he was like, you're the only guy I know who's like, yeah, I play this deck, went 1-4 online, I'm playing it tomorrow. And I was like, the games are close.
Is there any way, just one final question, then we can end it, but is there any way that you could like maybe take the standstills out and just add like Painter Grindstone into there?
Probably could, and then I could play the Pyroblast main deck.
Yeah, and then like, you know, you can still like, that way your saga, when it goes off, you can go get like, if you've already got the painters and you're doing stuff, you can go get that. Otherwise, you just go back with your didgeridoo. But I don't know. Just a thought. Play it in the sideboard. Transformational.
You could play a stompy version too.
Like if we're already in tier 5, like you might as well
play it. Like you bring Chalice in. Yeah, there's a saga. You just get fetch didgeridoo. It's fine. You don't need to, you know, you can turn one in and then turn to your, enter your, Chalice. I'll bounce it off Brian Koval. I feel like he'll be in. Anything else before we wrap it up? If you made it this far, thanks for listening. We'll see you all in 2 Thresholds.
Peace.